Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
All right, Genesis chapter 3. Title of my message is The Hurt Whisperer. Look at your neighbor and go, The Hurt Whisperer. Look at your other neighbor and say, well, why didn't he whisper? The Hurt Whisperer. We're going to talk about that today. Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to pray. We're going to read our text, but we're going to get into the message a little bit so that I can kind of set up what our text is and the way we're going to roll through it. So stick your finger there. Don't lose that. We're going to come back to it, but let's ask God to be with us today. Father, I thank you that your presence is here. You're here in our worship. You're here because your scripture promises where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And that's two or three people who long for you. And Father, we have a church full of people that are longing for you. There are those that are here this morning, God, and we know you. And Father, we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And every time that we're around, we want more of God. And I pray, come and meet them and fill them. God, there are those that are here today that are kind of searching. They believe in you, but they're not sure what to do with you. And so, Father, today I pray that you become real to them. That, Father, it not just be talk, but it be something that they experience in their hearts and in their lives. And God, there may be those this morning who don't really know you, who don't really necessarily believe in you. Maybe we talk about God or we use them in language or whatnot, but God, it's never really been a meeting. Let this morning be a great meeting time that we all experience you and know you. Thank you, Jesus, that we are not bound to our hurt. I want to say that again. Thank you, Jesus, that we are not bound to our hurt and to our pain, to the battles of our past, that you have set us free. And I celebrate that in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I want to welcome again all of you to our final Sunday AM service of 2012. Man, this year has just gone by in a hurry, and it has been crazy. It has been exciting. It has been full of wonderful things. It has been full of challenging things. Anybody with me there? Good stuff and lots of other stuff. It's been a year of stuff, and it's coming to an end. It's coming to a close very quickly, and we're kind of looking into the new year that God has for us, should he tarry. And I want to take some time, and really my thought, my heart going into this service was, I want to have a message to end the year on. And that was kind of my focus. I just want to be able to end this year with a word from God for us, for our hearts, so that we can take and we can receive and apply and change, and we can enter this new year with a great starting position. Now, our theme for this year was renew, and to renew is really to kind of start over again. And I just really felt this year going in was really going to be one of God saying, I'm going to bring you back to the foundational things. I'm going to have things peel away and strip away a little bit. And I want you to get back to reading the Word. I want you to get back to spending time in prayer. I want you to get back to knowing me and trusting me like you did in the very beginning of your faith. How many know when you first got saved? My goodness, it's so you read the Bible, you just believed everything, and Jesus said, we can raise the dead. Let's go to a funeral home. You know, and I mean you were just wide open for whatever God wanted to do in you and through you. And what happens sometimes is as we mature, we lose a little bit of that. And I felt like God was just saying, No, you need to have that fire again. You need to believe that what I say I mean, and what I say you can do, you can do. And I don't know about you, but for me this year was a real stripping away of stuff. And I came back to the very core. I felt like I was starting all over again with God. And so we got back to him being our foundation and getting our roots into him. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is this: how the enemy works in our lives, not to bring the devil glory, okay? We're going to talk about him, but I don't want to bring him glory, but rather I want to bring glory to the one who has set us free from him. All right? Now, Christmas can be an amazing time. How many of you had good Christmases? I say Christmases, like there was more than one. There was just one. You had a great Christmas. Now, how many know that Christmas is a wonderful time of year? And on one hand, we celebrate it, and there's a lot to be celebrated, and we give God praise and joy, and we celebrate the coming King. And how do you know that Christmas, though, for a lot of folks, is a very tough time? It's a very challenging season for a lot of people, and it's a time of challenge, and it can be a time of pain. And the truth of the matter is, not just around Christmas, but in life, that if I was to sit down with each one of you individually and talk with you for a little bit, one of the things that we would all have in common is this: we all have pain. You with me today? How many of you have pain? How many of you are sitting by them? No, don't raise your hands. Don't do it. I saw that hand. I do counseling. I'll give you a heads up. Just say, I'm sorry now. We all have pain. And while we all experience pain, when you don't deal with pain properly, I mean, you know, the pain doesn't go away. That it kind of stays. It stays in our heart. It not just stays in our heart, but it accumulates. And it accumulates in what I'm going to call our hurt pocket. How many of you, they don't even make shirts hardly anymore that have pockets. Right? Y'all have shirts? My father, he always has a shirt with a pocket, and it always has pins in it. I mean, my dad could be on the Titanic sinking, and I could say, Dad, I need a pen. Hey, you know? And he's always had pins as long as I can remember, and it's an amazing thing. But what we do is we have hurts that we experience in our lives and in our year, and we take them, and when we don't deal with them in a proper way, we stick them in our hurt pocket. And what happens is this: hurt begins to accumulate. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Accumulate. How many of you felt like doing dishes over the holidays? Oh, it's just a bowl. I'll leave it in the sink. Oh, it's just a plate. I'll wash it later. And all of a sudden you turn around and things have accumulated. And you know what you do then if you're wise? You call your children. And you say, look at this mess you need to clean up. And these things accumulate in our hearts and in our lives. What happens is this: as we go through life and pain happens and we accumulate, it compromises our ability to process life and relationships. I want to say that again. As pain accumulates in our hearts, in our hurt pocket, it will compromise our ability to process life and to process relationships, relationships with other people, relationships with God, our mental health, our emotional health, all of these things. And the whole idea of Christ coming to earth, of Jesus coming to earth, being born as a child, growing up into his adulthood, at 30, his ministry started. 3.5 years he did ministry. At 33 and a half, he died on a Roman cross for our sins, was to set us free. Not to set us mostly free, kind of free. Not to say, oh, you're saved, but you still are going to have all this hurt you've got to carry in your life because of things that have been done to you or choices that you've made on your own life. He said, not that. He said, I came that you may be free and that you may be free indeed. See, look at that. Power's in the house. I'm telling you what. That was God saying, slow it down, Wes. Slow it down. You're getting going too quick. You're going to burn out. You only had a bagel this morning. It's going to be all right. But see, our enemy comes, and what he does is he causes our pain to be stirred up. How many of you, and don't raise your hand because I don't want to, how many of you have things that you're dealing with today that happened a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? These are things that we've experienced in our lives. And you know what happens? The enemy comes, and he stirs up the pain in our hurt pocket so that it continues to impact our lives, so that it continues to impact the way that we process life, the way that we process relationships. He comes, and what he is he is a hurt whisperer. Now, I mean, how many of you have ever seen the show, The Horse Whisperer? Have you ever seen the show, The Dog Whisperer? All right, I've never seen a show, The Cat Whisperer, because the cats hate whispering, and they'll scratch your face off. All right? They go, oh, hello, game. You know, it's it. That show got canceled. Show the guy had Band-Aids, and it was just like, no, cats are possessed of the devil. And I'm just kidding. Oh, my Lord. I had a cat. We had a cat for 18 years. It loved me and hated my wife. It did. I would be in bed. It would crawl up on bed. It'd lick me on the face. It would look at her and go, you know, it's crazy. And she's like, oh, why doesn't it like me? I feed it. You know, she would get out of bed and it would hide under the bed and it would literally jump out and wrap its arm to bite her on the ankles. And I mean, it was hysterical. I'm like, hey, babe, time to get up. I don't wanna. You know, it was awesome. Old Simba, 18 years we had that cat. God rest its soul in the microwave. But listen, what the enemy does is he comes and he causes our pain to be stirred up. And he comes, and the enemy is a hurt whisperer. He comes, and what I'm talking about is the devil comes into our lives, and he wants you to re-experience that pain or experience pain, and he's always whispering these things into your heart and into your life. So I want to talk to you about how we can, through Jesus, overcome the devil so that we can live free today. Because in my opinion, this, the worst thing about pain is not the pain itself. We're clearly having some electrical issues. We good, Dan? He says he doesn't know. I just want to make sure it's very clear. If there's open flame, me first. All right? I'm just kidding. The shepherd always leads the sheep, right? Yeah. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Here's the thing. The worst thing about pain is not the pain itself, but it's the message that pain brings. 2007, I experienced a heart attack. Most of you know that. Y'all lived through that with us. And I had to have open heart surgery, and it was a crazy, crazy month in my life. It was insane. I wasn't here. I was a couple hours away visiting family. My wife was 5-6 months pregnant with a baby, and it was just not a good time to schedule a heart attack. And I got through the heart attack. I got through the open heart surgery. You know, we had our bumps. They sent me home to rest and recuperate. I started feeling good. And you know, you get over the event. But what you wrestle with is the message of the pain. Because the message of the pain kept telling me this. Every time I had a twinge in my arm or a tightness in my chest or a pain, the message kept saying, you don't know what that is, do you? You thought you were healthy before. Look what happened. And it wrestled. I mean, I really wrestled with this in my mind. There was once or twice in that first year, I just wake up at night, so I can't sleep. Something's wrong. I'd go to the ER. They'd hook me up to stuff. And they said, Mr. Johnson, you're fine. I said, maybe you hook a couple of them up here, you know, because I think I'm broken. And Mr. Johnson, there's nothing, but it's the message of the pain. And all pain has a message in it. We can get over the initial hardship, but it's a message of the pain that stays with us long after the pain is gone. It's after the trauma. It's after the divorce. It's after the passing of a loved one. It's after the failure or the rejection or the adultery or the bankruptcy or the betrayal. I don't know what it is for you, but it's after that. That's the thing we wrestle with. See, it's not the pain of the event. That doesn't last very long, but the message of the pain, if you just stick it in your hurt pocket and carry it the rest of your life, you can literally carry it the rest of your life. And the enemy can constantly be stirring that up. See, with that, message is the re-experiencing of the stuff over and over and over again until we pass on or the pain goes away. All right, now John 10:10 tells us this. The thief does not come except to what? Steal, kill, and to destroy our lights. And that's what it is. He steals, he kills, and he destroys. You know what we're going to do? We're going to fix this. Dan, I have a question. If we just turn the lights off and leave these on, will that work? He says no. That's why I do the preaching. Oh, okay. The wind. Or giant rats. I don't know. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. All right? And then it says, but I have come that they may have life and that it may be more abundantly. What Jesus is saying is this. Listen, the devil doesn't want to play around with any of you. He hates you. Everything he does has a purpose. Everything that he whispers into your life, there's a reason for it. Everything that he puts in your path is simply to steal from you, to kill you, or to destroy you. He wants to ruin you. He wants to steal every good thing from you and from your life. And not only does he want to do it, but you got to understand this. The devil is good at what he does. I want to talk to you about how the enemy comes into our lives. And how he brings havoc and destruction. But I want to talk to you also about how we can stop him every single time. You see, not only stopping him from bringing our past back and from taking that pain and stirring it up again, but stop him from taking things in our past and causing any more pain from them. All right, we can, through Christ, overcome him every step of the way. Amen? All right, we can be free from all the stuff that the devil does, but also free to accomplish all the things that God has for us in our lives. We've got to understand that. Can we hit the off button or try something? I feel like I'm preaching in a disco. All right. Yay. All right. Are y'all okay with this? All right. Good. Because I was like, deer in headlights. Amen. Yeah, we're back. Okay. That's good. We can do that. All right. So here, let me find out where. We need to be free, or we can be free from all the stuff that the devil does. But Jesus doesn't want to set you just free. Jesus says, I want to set you free so that you can receive all the things that God has for your life. It's not just out of this. It's out of this so that we can obtain this. Now, let me ask you this. Anyone ever here experience negative situations or circumstances? Don't raise your hands. I can't see you. All right? So, but here's the thing. We all experience this stuff. And Satan uses negative circumstances. When we have experienced a negative thing and we're hurting, it's in that moment that the devil pounces on us. He attacks us when we're vulnerable. He doesn't care if you're young, if you're old, male or female, healthy or sick, wounded or strong. He doesn't care. All he cares about is stealing from you, killing you, and trying to destroy you. And one of the things that makes him so dangerous is this. The devil is stealthy. He doesn't just present himself to us. He doesn't just show up and say, hey, it's me. If that were the case, wouldn't it be so much easier to kind of know, hey, I don't believe what you're saying, devil. In your red suit with your pitchfork, you are not going to fool me. If that's the way life worked, wouldn't it be, it'd be so nice? Ding, ding, the doorbell rings, you open the door, and he's standing there. I'm just here to pillage. I'm just going to come in and destroy some stuff, ruin some things, and steal some hope. Can I come in? No, we'd slam the door. That's not what he does. It's not the way he functions. Listen, Luke 10:19 says this. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see, we know this stuff in our head. We know this stuff in our spirit. And if the devil showed himself as the devil, we would know how to handle that. But the problem is he doesn't. He's crafty, he's stealthy, he sneaks around, he doesn't present himself that way. And we're going to go through things and we're going to face things, and sometimes we don't even realize what we're really dealing with. Genesis 3, he came to Adam and Eve as a serpent. And how many know that? How does a serpent kill? It poisons you or it suffocates you. Every snake, how many of you, have you ever been poisoned by something? You ever gone through a divorce or gone through a bankruptcy and had a fight with your wife and just something gets in your spirit and it taints you? And I mean, you are poisoned. We walk around with this stuff in our veins, and then when it's in our veins, it gets to our heart. And when it's in our heart, it comes out of our mouth. And when it comes out of our mouth, we follow it with our actions. Some of you are here today, and you know what? You've got that snake coiled around your life. You are in the midst of something. You're in the midst of a hardship, a challenge, a painful thing that you are walking through and trying to get through. And it seems like every time you take a breath, that soul serpent just kind of coils a little tighter and a little tighter and a little tighter. And you just feel like life is being drained out of you. That is the serpent at work. In the garden, Satan came as an animal that best represented his character. And snakes are stealthy. And isn't the thing that scares us the most about snakes is that we know they're there, we just can't see them? If you grew up in the country, you've experienced this, where you're just walking through the yard or through the woods, you're minding your own business, and all of a sudden you look down, and there's a snake. And you'll see people who can barely get out of a chair, jump about 5 feet high. They look like the roadrunner. Their feet are going, and all you see is dust. It's amazing. If we see them out there and we recognize what it is, and oh, I see that snake, it doesn't scare me over there. It's that I know they're around and I can't see them. They're subtle, is what the King James says. The King James says that they're subtle. You don't see them until they strike. And the enemy uses two disguises that he wears all the time, and they're very effective. His number one disguise is us. All right, let me qualify that. What I mean by that is this. He speaks into our mind and our heart, and he wants us to believe that it's us, that it was our thought. But it is not our thought. It is the devil. And the second thing, his second favorite disguise is God. He speaks to us, and he wants us to believe, God just told me that. And we want to move in that, and we want to walk out that, and then it leads to more pain, and we go, God, what happened? It was not God. That was the enemy speaking to you in a way that you believed it was God. All right? Because here's the thing. Won't we accept our own thoughts? And won't we accept into our life what we think is God speaking to us? So he's subtle. He slithers around, and in our weak moments, in our times of temptation, of vulnerability, or pain, or rejection, or loneliness, whatever it is, he takes opportunity to strike. And he only comes for three reasons: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 2 and 3 say this: For I am jealous for you with a godly jealous, for I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. This is what Paul says. I read verse 2 last Sunday, but look at the next verse. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The Paul who wrote this is the apostle for the church at Corinth, and he says to this, I'm afraid for you that the devil's going to come to you and do exactly what he did to Eve because you don't understand how he operates. And when he says, as the serpent deceived Eve, what it means when you look into the definitions of those words is that the enemy swindled her and he seduced her by his craftiness, the trickery. The King James uses the word subtle, and that means hard to detect. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 and 14. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Okay? People who are not true or genuine, looking and acting like people who are of Christ. He says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Paul says that he's going to come and he's going to try to do to you what he did to Eve. He can make himself look like God. He can transform himself into something you think will be good. And when you accept it because it doesn't look like it's coming from the devil, we take it in and it stirs up the pain. You re-experience the pain, or it just leads you into another hardship and another trial. And then we're doubting God and we're more vulnerable even then. It's so much easier. He were the type of enemy that just presented himself, but he doesn't. He is subtle. He is crafty. And we as mature Christians, all that we have to do is to learn that we can uncover him every single time, and we can defeat him every single time. Do you understand that? I'm not talking to everyone else but you. I'm talking to you. You can defeat the enemy and his working in your life because God says you can. It is simple. It is not complicated. But when we do not understand the way the enemy works, he can ruin our life. He can keep you from your destiny. He can keep you in the pain and the problems of your past, just continuing on and on until we learn the simple steps on how to overcome him. Let me give you a couple of examples of the way he did this. Everybody still have Genesis chapter 3? All right, you can't see it because you're in the dark. We're going to throw those up here. And I'll read those to you so you can hear this. It says, verse 3, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit, she ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves coverings. And then they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam, and he said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And then he, being God, said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat?'" Now listen, I want you to understand something. The enemy comes into the garden, and the very first thing that he ever says to a human being is this: "Did God really say?" That's his opening line. That's right out of the chute. There's no "how's the weather?" "Hey, how's the garden? How are things going?" The devil doesn't waste time. He comes for three reasons: steal, kill, and destroy. Right out of the chute, he says, "Did God really say?" The very first thing that he wanted to do was to bring doubt on God's word, because before the devil can defeat you, he has to disarm you. He wants God's word on the coffee table, gathering dust, not in your heart, ready for war. He does not want you reading the word. He does not want you studying the word. He does not want you getting this into your heart and into your mind, because if you have this in your heart and your mind, you're going to see his workings, you're going to understand him. Now, we live probably today in one of the most biblically illiterate nations in the world. We have more Bibles per person, per household, than anywhere else in the world, and we probably read them the least. "Hey, Pastor Wes, how did I fall into, how did I get?" Well, are you in the Word? The devil wants to disarm you before he can harm you. Eve said, "If we eat this fruit, we're going to die." The serpent says, "You're not going to die. He's a liar." And so she took the fruit and she ate it, and she gave it to Adam and he ate it. And the thing you got to understand, in the moment that they ate that fruit, spiritually, they died right then. And in the moment that they ate the fruit, in the moment they spiritually died, the enemy immediately pounced and he whispers something into them, and they didn't even know where it came from. They ate the fruit and he said, "You know what? You're defective. There's something wrong with you. God's not going to love you like this." Look at you. And you see that because later on, God comes to spend time with us the way he desires to. And he's calling for Adam and Eve. And they say, "Guys, where are you?" And they said, hey, we're hiding because we were naked." God says, "Who told you you were naked?" You see, here's the thing. Look, God never asks a question that he needs an answer to. Anybody ever have God ask you a question? You know, "Wes, do you really?" "Oh, gosh, he knows the answer." He never asks a question he needs the answer to. He already knows. And what God was saying was this: "Adam, I didn't say that to you that you were naked, and I know you didn't say it to yourself because you didn't know. Someone whispered this to you, Adam, and if it wasn't me and it wasn't you, it was the devil speaking to you." He was trying to get Adam to think. And doesn't this carry through? God created the first man and woman, not just naked, but gloriously naked. All right, I'm not trying to be weird today. I'm trying to be honest with you. In the garden, they were perfect. There was no need for covering. They were perfection. And as soon as the enemy spoke to Eve and deceived her, and then she and Adam both ate the fruit, the first thing the enemy says is, "You are ugly. Look at you. God's not going to love you like this." And they went and they hid in their shame. And you know, you see this even today. Most people do not like someone else to see them naked. I mean, husbands, wives, anything. Because there's still this shame connected to this thing. And God created us gloriously naked. Gloriously naked. God was trying to get Adam to think. Because here's the thing, we don't tell ourselves bad stuff, do we? Isn't self-preservation one of the strongest human traits there is? And we don't beat up on ourselves. We always think we're good. We're nice. We're kind. We're loving. I'm a nice person. I help people. I like people. I love people. I'm a good... Where do these thoughts come from then? Could it be that the hurt whisperer whispers into you? You see, we want good things, and God wants good things for us. I mean, if God is for us, then who can be against us? On your worst day, he's your best friend, and he's not going to tell you that you're worthless, and he's not going to tell you that you're ugly, and he's not going to tell you that you sin too much to use, and he's not going to tell you that you're a failure, and he's not going to tell you any negative thing. So if you've ever had the thought, "I'm ugly, I'm stupid, I'm not worth loving, I'm fat, I'm a failure," that stuff did not originate in you, and it didn't come from God. Devil has whispered that into you. It originated somewhere else. Adam and Eve thought that they had heard this for themselves. We realized that we were naked and we hid, and God is telling the devil spoke that to you. The serpent said that, not me. Let me give you another example. Matthew 16, Jesus is talking to his followers and he asks them this question, "Who do you say that I am?" And they've gone around and some have said, "Oh, you're Elijah and you're Moses and you're this and that." And he turns to the disciples and he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, and I'm telling you what, of all of Peter's life, this was his shining moment. He says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it's almost like he answers and he looks back and he's like, "I got one right. Yes." And Jesus looks at him and says, "Peter, this wasn't your own thinking. This came from the Father to you." But what he's saying is, "Peter, you heard from God on that. Way to go, Peter. You got it. You're understanding this whole thing now. I'm so proud of you, Peter. You're awesome." And then you read on. In Matthew 16, 21 to 23, and from that time, right after Peter hit the home run and tagged all the bases, right after they said, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and rebuked him. Just a rule of thumb. Don't rebuke Jesus. It never works out very well. He rebukes him and says, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He didn't talk to Peter. He talked to Satan. "For you are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Now listen, Peter had been on a roll. He had gotten the question right. And Jesus begins to share more openly that he was going to go to Jerusalem. And they were going to kill him there. And Peter, he's starting to think. Now he was a common fisherman. He was kind of somewhat of a nobody in his mind. And one day the Son of God walks up to him and says, "Come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And Peter steps out of his life of obscurity and becomes one of the most important men in world history. And when he followed Jesus, he saw miracle after miracle. He saw people healed. He saw the dead raised. Peter was somebody, and his best friend believed in him. And now his best friend is telling him, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I know I've transformed your life, Peter, but it's okay. I'm going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to die. Peter's thinking, I'm going to go back to that life of nothing. I don't want that. Peter's traumatized. Something grips his heart, and Satan is right there, and Peter doesn't even realize it. Peter hears that Jesus is going to die and he's going to end up going back to a life of obscurity. And in that moment, the enemy speaks and Peter thinks that it's God and he rebukes Jesus. And Jesus turns around and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Who was Jesus talking to? Satan. He's responding to Satan and he's letting Peter know that was not God that spoke to you. That was the devil. Listen, in your trauma, in your battle, in your struggle, in your moments of emotion, in your whatever you want to define it as, do not let that happen to you. In a moment of trauma, the enemy speaks something that is contrary to the will of God, but because it matches your emotional state to what's going on in that moment, you want it to be God, but it is not God. Get behind me, Satan. You see, the devil can speak in our times of pain, and he wants us to believe that it's God. Jesus was telling the disciples the greatest news that they were going to hear. Guys, everything that we've been working towards, everything that we've been working for is coming to a culmination. It's going to come to a head. I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to be raised back. And God's will, the Father's will, is going to be done. This is great. We need to celebrate this. When you're hurting, when you're vulnerable, and when you hear even good news through the ears of pain, it sounds like something very different than what God was actually saying. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. We know that. We quote that all the time. Tell people that a lot. Every husbands and wives I talk to and spouses, hey, listen, don't go. I said, just don't let the sun go down in your anger. We say that. I'm going to tell you why. Verse 27 tells us why. Nor give place to the devil. That's why. See, the word devil here is translated diablo, and in the Greek it means slanderer. All right? Hurt produces anger. You with me? Hurt produces anger. And it's okay to be angry, but you don't go to bed on it. Because when you allow those things to sit into your heart, your hurt pocket, when you allow those things to sit into your spirit, Diablo, the slanderer, is going to speak into it. That's why you can go through your day, you're having a great day, a wonderful day, you get towards the evening, and you and your spouse, or you and a significant other, or whoever, whatever it is, you have a spat, you have an argument, it gets a little intense, and if you're married, you go to bed, if you're not, you go to separate places, you go to bed, y'all know what I'm saying, but you don't settle it, you don't deal with it, you don't pray it through, you don't engage in it, you don't handle it the way God says to handle it, and you know what you do? You wake up the next morning, and while the next day was great, you wake up in the morning, you know what you're thinking? I don't deserve that. Because the enemy has had opportunity to speak into it all night in your spirit. You wake up now different because the pain has been spoken to by the devil. Listen, if you have long-term anger in your heart, you have wrong thoughts in your head. It is okay to be angry, but you don't go to bed on it because you're going to wake up with wrong thoughts. You're going to wake up in the morning and think, I married the wrong person. It is all their fault. I deserve better than this. They need to treat me better than this. If they would change, it would all be better. And if you have unresolved hurts in your life, you have faulty thinking that will keep you from God's best. Let me just run down a few that I've heard over the years. Something bad is going to happen to my family or me. There are people that wake up every morning with this thought in their head. Something's wrong with me and it can't be fixed. I'm stupid. I'm ugly. Anything good will be taken from me. If people really knew me, they would reject me. I will always be disappointed in life. I am not normal. I'll never succeed. God loves other people better than he loves me. I can't change, and I will always be this way. I'll never be a good Christian. God will always pay me back for the wrongs that I have done. Where did they come from? They come from the devil whispering things into you. Because when I look at God's word, I never see God ever saying any of those things. All those types of thoughts come from disappointment and they come from pain. And again, pain isn't the problem, it's the message of pain. It's not the pain of failure, it's the message of it that will be there long after that stumble is over. So how do we destroy the devil's lives in our life? Three quick things and I'm going to get you out of here. Number one, bring your thoughts into the light. Bring your thoughts into the light. I want you to think about something. Everything that Satan does, he puts fear and shame around it so that you won't talk about it. I want to say that again. Everything that the devil does, he wraps in fear and shame so that you won't talk about it. You're afraid what people will think, and you're ashamed of the situation you're in. And so you sit there, and you know what? That plays right into the hand of the devil because he wants you to suffer silently. Adam and Eve ate the fruit, and the first thing they did, their eyes were open. The enemy whispered and said, "You're naked. God's not going to love you like that. There's something wrong with you. You look ugly. You're disgusting. God's not going to love you anymore." They went and they did what? They hid. Why? Because they were afraid and they were ashamed. Here's the thing: whatever comes into the light belongs to God, because he's the Father of light. See, when you have pain that you carry around and you never talk about it and you never get help with it and you just keep putting it, it accumulates. It impacts your relationships with God, with other people, your own mental health, your own spiritual health. When you leave it in the dark, we know the dark is the devil's domain. Isn't everything bigger in the dark? Everything seems more hopeless in the dark. Everything seems scarier in the dark. But when we bring it into the light, then the devil has no more power over it. When you finally engage, when you finally deal, when you finally say, "We got to sit down and talk," when you finally just say, "Hey, listen, I'm wrestling with this," and you get it out into the open, and I'm not talking about putting it in the newspaper or anything, but I'm talking about having someone you can go to, and you get it out into the light. When it's brought into the light, the devil has no more power over it, and God can set you free. You get rid of every thought that doesn't line up with God's word. In the Garden of Eden, Satan took the entire human race captive with thoughts. You have power over your thoughts. When Jesus heard Peter saying things that weren't in alignment with the word of God, he knew where they had come from and he expelled it. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Listen, any thought you don't take captive will take you captive. Number three, speak your agreement with God's word. Speak your agreement with God's word. It's not just knowing it, it's believing it. Bring your life into alignment with it. I want to ask you a couple little things. What does God say about you? Aren't you the apple of his eye? When you look at a cross, do you think that he loved you so much that he said you were worth the blood of his son? Isn't that what Calvary is? You know that he says you're more than an overcomer. You're a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you. Don't you know that he says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Don't you know that he says, oh, but I mess up so much. You know, wherever grace abounds or sin abounds, grace abounds even more. You know that God loves you more than you'll ever understand. God is not against you, but God is for you, and that he sent his son for you. Do not be a parrot for the lies of the devil. Do not be one who repeats into your life the whispers that he whispers into you. Whenever someone says, I'm worthless, I'm a screw up, I've always been a screw up, I'll always be, that is not of God and that is of the devil, and don't you say that again to your life. You are valuable in Christ. You are bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has set you apart. He has set you free. Whatever you're wrestling with, you drag it into the light. Get it out of the devil's authority. Get it into God's authority. You take over. You'll overcome it. You agree with what God's word says about you, because we must say what God says, because that's what changes our life. You are a blessing, not a burden. You are a blessing, not a burden. You have a destiny on you that is from God. So rise up and take it. It is a gift of God to your life. Let's live this thing. Amen.
If you'd like to learn more about living a life in Jesus Christ or would like prayer, please contact our church office at area code 703-548-0339.